Let's now turn our attention to the law and the Word of God as it's found in Psalm 119. I'm just going to read a small portion of Psalm 119 now, verses 9 through 16, with my main focus on verse 9. Let's now hear God's word from Psalm 119, beginning verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. May the Lord bless this portion of his word to us. Yes, Heavenly Lord Jesus, your word is precious. Obviously, it's so precious to the psalmist. May it be as precious and even more so to us who have the completed word. Bless it to us. May our love for you, for your word, grow. In Jesus' name, we ask this, Heavenly Father. Amen. Like I said, verse 9 is a focus. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's the question. And of course, by implication, young woman, but also adult as well. It certainly would not rule out any of us. And the answer that the psalmist gives, time and again, but clearly here, is by taking heed thereto according to thy word. In other words, by taking heed of your word, and of course taking heed means, is verse 16, I will not forget it. And so that I want to emphasize to not only young men and women, but to all of us, but particularly to the young, because the young are very vulnerable. So that would be my first point, just to address not only, but the young. The second would be cleansing. And the psalmist and prophets and Jesus Christ himself speaks about cleansing. What are we talking about? What is he talking about? Purpose. I also want to talk about purpose here. In the fourth place, the synonyms for law. There are 22 synonyms in Psalm 119. Not going to go through all of them, but they're not there by accident. Synonyms for the word law. And finally, discipline. Not church discipline, but personal, private discipline. So those five points are before us now. And the first is young people. I say jokes about young people. I'm sure we all do. And that teenage girls are perhaps the worst creatures on the planet. But I don't mean that. You know, I have two. Maybe that's why I think that. But it's not the case. They're beautiful. They're charming. But, you know, they're also, you know, tough. But so are boys, right? Kids are tough business. And it's a wonderful business. It's a privilege to raise them. But it's a lot of work. And it's a lot of care. And the psalmist here, although he might not be writing about himself, but he may be, he's certainly talking about a young man. He's not talking about this young man, only himself, but he's talking about young people in general. And he's concerned that he, as well as the young, would take heed to the word and not forget it, because it's being careless towards the word that is going to cause a lot of trouble. Why? Listen to the first part of the verse there in verse 9. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? Well, why does a young man need cleansing? Obviously, it's for a spiritual reason. The young man is full of sin. And this young man, the psalmist, a young man, but also others as well in Israel, young people, understood this, that they were dirty within. They were sinful within. And see, that's not emphasized enough. Even, I guess, among Christians, no less the world, forget about the worldly, the godless, but even Christians and their family must emphasize the fact that, look, you're young and you're full of sin, and now is the time to learn it and to know it and to understand what the Word of God says about sin, how He identifies it, and what you're to do about your sin, rather than just let it go, just let these kids go on and on in their ways, not confronting them, not warning them, not describing things for them, but just let them emphasize, let them pay attention to all the distractions that are before them. Now, you know, one of the things about young people, there's a lot of things about young people, young men and women, boys and girls, and that is that they think they're better than they really are. They think that they know better and they know more than they really do, especially when it comes to spiritual things and morality and weaknesses. See, they think that because they're healthy and strong, you look like, you know, you have an old guy like me that's three diseases and, you know, is collapsing into the dust slowly, and you can see that, you know, I'm so much stronger than you. Well, yes, physically that may be the case. But that doesn't mean that spiritually that's the case. And that's the problem with young people. They don't see themselves as they ought, certainly not as God sees them, and even as their parents might see them and their grandparents might see them, that they're just so full of sin and so full of self that they're blinded. That's the folly of youth, as the wise writer says in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and in other places in the Scripture. That's the folly of youth. Paul talks about thinking of ourselves more highly than the others. He's talking about everyone, but it's certainly true of young people. That they think of themselves more highly than they all do. There's very few, if any, exceptions in the Church of Jesus Christ. Remember, the psalmist is speaking to the congregation of God's people. He's not speaking about the worldly. How shall a young man in Israel, young woman, young person, cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word, not forgetting thy word. Is that what young people are doing? Is that what your young people are doing? You know, the devil might be unsuccessful in ruining, you know, bringing ruin into the lives of many people in many ways. But he's very successful in this one way. extreme, especially among the young, but also adults, surely included, immorality. Bad thoughts, bad words, bad desires, bad actions. He's extremely successful at tempting every one of us that way in immorality, especially young people. What are you going to do about it? Parents, grandparents, pastors, elders, what are you going to do about it? We know young people are brought down. I don't know how many people that I have spoken to or with that were young, even to this day, that are young, that have a boyfriend and a girlfriend that they're doing things with unseemly. So many. It's not uncommon. Proverbs even warns that a strong man is brought down by immorality. A mature Christian believer brought down by immorality. It's very necessary for us to first start off this way. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his? Why do I have to be cleansed? You're talking about cleaning inside. Right? I'm not talking about cleaning one's body in terms of outward dirt. We're talking about cleaning one's soul so that you don't give your body over to dirty stuff. And we know that many have because of the internet and television. But it's not the internet and television. It's you. Right? I don't go to any of those sites that are all over the place that sometimes the advertisements come through at you and you're looking, whoa. What's that? I don't go to them. It's not the internet that makes me evil. I'm evil. I do it. We know that these young people, millennials, Generation X or Z or whatever, they're all over the place, going to the on the internet and going to this way and that, you know, the movies, for example, the movies and the television shows, they're not causing it. They're caused by the desire of people. Right? It's a symptom of the way we are. It didn't just pop up out of nowhere. The devil's not just miraculously changing the scope and the texture and the emphases of society and culture. We are. Our minds. Our spirits. And they are chock full of immorality. All kinds of immorality. Then there are false teachers in the church. I am not one of them. But they go and talk about promiscuity and fornication and whatever is no big deal. Homosexuality, transgenderism. You know, these things we need to be okay. The society and the culture is changing. We need to be okay with such things. And that is just the devil's counsel and advice, right? There's nothing in the Word of God that condones these things. And yet there are people in the name of Christ, or certainly in the name of Christianity, saying, well, homosexual orientation is not a sin. The CRC did that. They had a committee, a meeting that years back now, probably a couple of decades back. And they determined that homosexual activity may be sin, but homosexual orientation is not. Jesus said the thought of sin is sin. The thought of it. You're talking about orientation. You're oriented towards a despicable sin. But there are false teachers in the church teaching young people that we need to understand this and accept it. We just recently had a decision from one of the presbyteries in the Presbyterian Church in America, the PCA, that was there was this desire, this recommendation to have special attention given to people that have certain sins, like, to respect transgenderism and homosexual orientation, and even perhaps pedophilia. And they voted it down. Thank the Lord. I was asked, what do you think? Should we have ministry? Should we reach out to these people? Should we have conversations discuss them? No! The Word of God says it's putrid sin. You need to repent of it before it's too late. Doctors are saying you're doing no good favor to person changing their sex, changing their gender. You can't change the gender anyway, but that's what they're trying to do. And you're doing them no favor. They're psychologically and emotionally disturbed people. Can't be talking stuff like it's okay. It says cleanse. What does cleansing? Obviously it means to wash. It doesn't mean, the psalmist is not referring to washing one's body physically. He's talking about washing your way. Not just your thoughts, your way of life. Cleansing it, washing your walk, the conversation of your life. By becoming holy as God is holy. Holiness does not mean, when it says, God says, calls us to holiness, be ye perfect, even as your Father is in heaven is perfect. It means be pure. It means purity, it means single-minded. It means devout, devoted. It means living that kind of devotional life that God would have you live. Well, how are you going to do that? How are you going to cleanse your ways? That's, of course, going to Christ. Going to Christ. Going to the cross. Why is Christ on the cross? He's God. He's God's Son. He had done miracles for many. They said, why don't you save yourself? You saved many. Why don't you save yourself? Why did he die? Why did he go to the cross? He did it for you. He did it for me. He shed his blood. His blood cleanses us from all our sin, right? That's what the scripture says again and again. It cleanses us. How does the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us from all our sin? It's a believing in it. Believing in the life sacrifice that Jesus made. You see, he suffered. Everything was leading up to the cross. His whole life was one of suffering. The cross was the pinnacle of it. His death was the pinnacle of it. But he was shedding his life in his life's blood for us even before he actually literally did it. That's what it's talking about. Going to Christ, going to the cross, finding out why he came and why he lived the way he did and why he died the way he did. And that has a cleansing effect upon your soul. Visiting the cross of Christ, learning more and deeper about it. What does it mean? He descended into hell. You ever think about that? It's all part of it. He descended into hell. Well, he descended into hell for me. Did he literally descend there? Or what's it mean? I'm going to tell you right now. Think about it. Because that's what it means to cleanse yourself at the cross of Christ. He suffered. He died. Was buried. He descended into hell. What's it all mean? You know what that means. And I mean know, not just intellectually, but know it in your heart. And that cleanses you. That kind of thing is what's talking about. The purpose of the Word of God is to bring us to Christ. It's always to bring us closer to Christ. Everywhere from Genesis on, it's to bring us into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ while here, while now, when we're young, especially when we're young, you don't wait to emphasize, to make this emphasis upon the young people and call them to attention. How many young people do you know that have gone astray, that have left the faith? You think you could have done a better job, parents, grandparents? No, I could have. How about you? Did you answer that? Do you think you're doing a good enough job now, young mothers, fathers? Maybe. I don't think you're doing a good enough job, but maybe. Maybe you are. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm just trying to pull you to attention. I'm just trying to push you to do better. Everybody admits, I could do better. What does that mean? I know when I said I could do better, that means I'm sinning. And it's keeping me back. That's what that means. That's what I mean when I say, I can do better. When I say, I can do better, I mean I'm sinning. And I got to stop sinning. I can do a better job raising my kids. Why? Because you're sinning, right? Not because everything you're doing is perfect and you're just going to be more perfect. That's not what you mean, is it? That's not what I mean. Purpose is to bring us all to Christ, close to Christ. And the Word of God does that. That's what the Word of God does. That's what the psalmist is saying here. How shall I cleanse myself? How shall I become holy? How shall I become God pure? And by not forgetting your Word. By drawing you closer to the Word. In the way I talk to you, young person. In the way I act or between ourselves, husbands and wives, and myself and my children, and the relationships, and boy, do I, you know, I could have done so much better. That means I sinned. That means I prevented myself from doing what was right in His sight because I sinned again and again. That's what I mean when I say I could do better, and that's what you mean. Whether you know it or not. I could do better. I'm not perfect. It all means I'm sinful. Synonyms. Quickly. It is poetry. It is stylish. It is beautiful Hebrew that's written here, Psalm 119. But it's not just for show. As I said, there are 22 synonyms used for the law. Just to show you what I mean. Blessed are the undefiled who, in verse 1 of Psalm 119, in the way, who walk in the law. There's the word law. Blessed are they that keep his testimony. That's another word used. And it means something a little bit different. There's nuance in each of these terms, law and testimony. Verse 3, walking in the ways. Well, verse 4, precepts. There's the word precepts in verse 4. In verse 5, there's the word statutes, to refer to the same thing. In verse 6, commandments, righteous judgments in verse 7. See, there's just one word after the other, and each word means something different. And this is what the psalmist is saying: wherewith shall a young man, a young woman, even an adult, cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. The word, which is in this particular verse, in this particular case, the word is a reference to the law, but it means the word that's uttered by God in the Bible. It's spoken by God. It's God-breathed, as Paul says in the New Testament. That's what it means. Another word that's used for law or for word might mean that it's a decree of God, and it's an established decree that's going to last, like a statute or a precept that's going to guide you and last on and on. It's something that God has meant that has staying power. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word, my statutes, my precepts, my decrees, might they never pass away. They will never pass away. Another use of the word law, another word used, a synonym used, is to refer to the truth, that thy word is truth, thy law is truth. And as opposed to the world's words, which are full of lies and innuendo and mistakes and errors. And so he's emphasizing here throughout this psalm that we ought to study the word diligently, to make it, you know, homework and study, because each word that the psalmist uses to describe just this one word, law, means something different. It's teaching something more, that the word of God, the law of the Lord, is exceedingly broad. How so? Because it's a testimony, because it's a statute, because it's a precept, because it's a commandment, because it's a decree, and so on and so forth. And that's what is emphasized here. You know, young people, you want to be something when you grow up. I don't know. Maybe it's math. Maybe it's science. Maybe it's a teacher. Maybe it's law, medicine, or whatever. Well, how are you going to get there? Are you going to get there by just sitting around and, flipping around with your phone and going from one site to the next and hanging out with your friends, talking on the phone, endlessly having conversations that mean little? How are you going to become a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher or a scientist? You're going to apply yourself to that particular field of study that you're interested in diligently. You're going to work at it. And you're going to make a lot of sacrifice in order to get there. Well, that's what you need to do in order to get there when it comes to spiritual reality and you. When it comes to your soul, when it comes to your person and your relationship with God and your character and your godliness and your holiness, you got to work at it. You have to study. You have to be diligent. You have to pursue it. That's just going to happen. And so, the emphasis, dear people, for the young that are listening, for parents and grandparents that are teaching and training their children, and young people, you're going to have to emphasize these things, that discipline, not spanking kind of discipline, purpose, study, diligent reading, bringing it not only into your head, but into your heart.
making it so that you cannot forget a word that you heard. Reading good, solid books, even theological books. Berkhoff, Systematics, Bavinck, Huxema, Murray. Reading what these people said, B.B. Warfield and the Word of God, Inspiration, Gretchen Machen, all these people that wrote good stuff, solid stuff. Young people need to read this stuff and grow up on it. I could have done better with my kids. What's that mean, you could have done better? It means you didn't do what you were supposed to do. You sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Hear the words of this prophet before we go. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich glory in his riches, but let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. How are you going to know about God? How are you going to know about Him? By the Word. Dear people, pay attention. Encourage your young. Pay attention. And let's all grow as a congregation of God's precious people together. May our prayer be, O Lord, how shall a youth preserve his way? At every turn by vanity surrounded? In truth, if he thy statutes will obey, if on thy word his attitudes are founded, thou whom I've sought, O let me never stray from thy commandments, lest I be confounded. Heavenly Lord Jesus, hear our prayer. It is the prayer of the psalmist. In your name, amen. Let's, in closing, sing hymn 149. Hymn 149. Let's rise up to sing this hymn.